morning, Colossae. Glad you're here this morning. My name is Luke Hendricks, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Tigard Colossae, and I've got a crew behind me this morning. There is a little bit of a shift here, a transition for our staff. Wanted to make you aware of it. To my right, Andy Garber has been at the helm of all things related to student ministry, as well as a focus on millennials. And the interesting thing about Andy being on staff is that we were actually in partnership with CRU, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ. And Andy's on staff there, as well as at Colossae, in this partnership. And it was a partnership aimed at really an emphasis on the millennial generation, something that CRU is doing here locally in Portland, the greater city of Portland. And his responsibilities also included shepherding junior high and senior high. The truth of the matter is that we had to split his time, and we felt more and more the pressure to provide more to junior high and senior high, which kind of took Andy out of the area that we had partnered with CRU and that millennial focus. So we are trying to kind of right that ship a little bit, put Andy back in a spot that fits more to our partnership with CRU, and so we're working out those details. And Andy is now handing off the ministry of students to Marcus Davis. Marcus and Ashley and Penelope. And Penelope will steal the show here in just a second at some point. I don't know when it's coming, but it's come every time. So we're just waiting for that. But before I introduce the Davises, let me just let Andy share with you a little bit about his passion and what he sees for the future related to this partnership in Colossae.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, my kids got me sick a little bit last night. So, the other organization I work with, CRU, has historically primarily focused on college students and helping college students figure out what it looks like to walk with Jesus and come to know him. But over the last few years, has given a new emphasis on helping really the millennial generation, primarily those exiting college and entering the real world for the first time, and helping them through that transition, helping them figure out what it looks like to use their God-given talents and passions to, really for the flourishing of the kingdom in the city. And so going to be giving some special kind of focus and attention to that.
I want to thank Andy publicly for the service that he has provided to Colossae, wearing a number of hats. And we're grateful for all that he's done. And now he is handing off a good portion of that ministry to Marcus Davis. And Marcus is not new to Colossae. He's served out at Sherwood location, and also has served in the Tigard location in specific ways as well, and now steps into a student ministry role. And some of the things that you're looking forward to, Marcus.
I want to thank Andy as well, just for how he's communicated this and helped bring me up to speed on what's going on with the junior high and senior high. And then as for things I'm excited about, I just am excited to get to know the students and the parents. Initially. And so if you are a student or a parent of a student, I would love if I could meet you. I'll be hanging around out there afterwards, so please come find me.
We're grateful for the internal nature of this move. It really allows for a smooth transition. They're quality people on both ends of this that have done a great job in transitioning. If you would join me, I'd like to pray for both families right now. And by the way, Christina and the kids are at home this morning. Andy's here, but sick. And he says he got it from them. So, all right. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we are grateful this morning for the work that you've given us to do here, Colossae Tigard. We give you praise and honor for Andy and for the ministry that he has directed. Grateful for all of the relationships and the influence that he has shepherded well. We look forward to the ministry to millennials and being in partnership there as well. And now, Lord, as Marcus and Ashley and Penelope step into this new role, we are aware that our commitment to your people and the generations below us remain strong. We desire for all to come to the knowledge of Jesus, and would pray for the generations below us and for these two families specifically who seek to really shepherd those next generations. God, may you give favor both to Andy and to Marcus as they lead in their respective areas. And may your Christ be exalted. We pray all this for Jesus' sake and his glory alone. Amen. Thanks, you guys.
When you get to know, because I assume that you all will, when you get to know Marcus and Ashley, you will really appreciate Penelope. She has become a little bit of a mascot, if you will, for the staff. Whenever she comes in, she has this personality, and everybody stops what they're doing and goes and wants to give her a hug and hang out with them. So we're glad to have them as part of our team here at the church. Some of you have not seen this early on a Sunday morning in a while, huh? At least a year. Glad that we have those smartphones and those electronic devices to keep us up. There was a time change. Some of you may not realize that. Your alarms do it for yourself, but we're glad you're here. At 8:30, it was, you know, people were definitely still asleep. So we hope that everybody has a little bit more energy this morning at this 10 o'clock gathering. My name's Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's been a little while since I've had the opportunity to be up here. The Lord's just given me a lot of different traveling opportunities at the beginning of this year, and so I think I've been gone like 32 or 33 days since January 1st. So it's been just a whirlwind of different things and different experiences for me. But I'm excited to be here with you all and to have a chance to kind of open up God's word and see what he's talking to us about. Chuck wanted me to let you know that he is out in Hillsboro this morning, so he wasn't able to be here with you. For those of you that are new and don't know, we do have three different locations, one in Sherwood, as we've mentioned, and Hillsboro as well. And he's just out there kind of worshiping out there this morning with them. And I would encourage you, I mean, if you have a chance, to go and spend time at either location and just to see what God is doing as part of the body. It's not just here in Tigard, that's hard to believe, but it is spread out now in a good way, and God's doing some really cool things at those other places. So I would just challenge you as well to maybe some Sunday cruise on out to there and then also out in Sherwood. So what we've been doing through is we've been going through the book of Luke, and we've really had an opportunity in a lot of ways as we've been going through this, at least from my perspective, to kind of look at it from a little bit of a different way. We've been talking through this idea of this idea of the captive and how Jesus in his ministry is showing that not only those the disciples, but I would say us in particular, the idea of this captive and allowing Jesus in some ways to free us, to be able to work through dependence on him in the ministry that he's laid out before us. And last week, Chuck talked through the idea of this Sabbath and the Pharisees questioning him and on healing. And what Chuck was talking about was recognizing that as we take these breaks, that we have to trust fully on him. That the pauses in life, these different moments, that there's an importance to recognize that God is the one that's in control and responsible for those things. And so to give him the time and the energy, the effort through that process, and that he is the one that clearly has control and power of those. You know, this morning what we're going to do is we're going to kind of look back at I think, one of the overlooked passages. If you're reading through this section, you can kind of breeze through it pretty quickly. But as I've taken some notes this week for myself personally and just recognize that I paused at least two or three times to have to consider things that, to be frank, I haven't really even looked at before. Read through it really quick, and this happens a lot in Scripture. And I think this morning God was just putting on my heart some areas that I think are extremely important for us to have to really consider. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 19. So if you want to open your Bibles to that, we're going to, in a minute here, begin to read through that. As I mentioned before, I've had an opportunity to travel, and I've had a chance this year to do one of those types of trips that is like a bucket list trip, okay? Now, some of us would say the beaches and the sands of some faraway land, or some of you, it's going for the skiing in the Alps, or whatever. For me, it's just this opportunity to go and to travel to Israel and to walk the land. I had never, ever thought this was going to happen in my life, okay? It costs a lot of money to go on this trip. And so for me to think that this was even going to happen, it was going to be when I was like 60 or 65, you know, someday where I finally was able to save enough money to go on this trip. But the Lord opened some doors for me to be able to have an opportunity to go. And actually, I didn't have to pay for it, so that made it even better. But to have the chance to go and spend at least 10 to 12 days in the country itself. And let me tell you right now, as being something that's one of the top five experiences of my life, there was just some subtle things on that trip that God used in ways to change my mind and my heart to understand his word even more clearly. And as you can imagine, if you've done any studies, if you've done any time to look on the internet, some of you have even been there, there's just so many different places that you can go and visit. And one of the things we spent a significant amount of time was up in near the Sea of Galilee. We spent up there, and this is where Jesus walked. He spent a lot of his time doing his ministry up here in this region, doing the healings and spending time teaching in synagogues and just spending time within this ministry during the time that he spent in those 3.5 years. And one of the things that I think was unexpected for me was on the itinerary, there was this thing that says Mount Arbel. And some of you may have heard of it. I had personally never even heard of this place. But it says that we were going to go and we were going to hike up this mountain and for a couple hours and enjoy the time that we were there. And so for me, it kind of just, okay, well, let's go with the punches. Let's see what this thing is. And we drive up in the bus and we get out and we start to hike. And it's about an hour and a half hike to the top. Here's a picture of us hiking. And we're, you know, going through this process, not really sure what to expect, not quite sure exactly what was going to be and the experience that we were going to go through when we were hiking to the top. And it was about after this hour and a half of cresting the top and getting up and standing there. And it's one of those moments for me personally, and some of you know if you've had the chance to do these type of experiences, I got up top and I all of a sudden sat there and overlooked this entire area. And I immediately just became overwhelmed. And as I was sitting up there and I was just overlooking, they gave us about 30 to 40 minutes of quiet time by ourselves to just sit up there and to reflect on these different significant things that were around us. And for me, what was really impressive on my heart and mind was that this is the area that Jesus did most of his ministry. And we're going to talk about it this morning, but go up to these places and he overlooked this entire region of Galilee. He overlooked this entire space. He had a chance to not just simply look at the valley itself, but he could see over across the entire Sea of Galilee all the way to the other side. And for me, as I'm sitting there and having this time by myself and reading some and praying, it was just this overwhelming moment of pause for me to reflect on God's creation, to reflect on his mighty hand, to spend just 30 minutes of time to just be almost in awe of who God was and all the amazing things that he does. And as I said before, some of you know what this is like if you've had these experiences. It's just something about being drawn into God's creation and having the opportunity to just overlook and see the magnificence of who he is and what he's done. And, you know, as I came back, I came back here to the United States, and, you know, I still have times of reflection to think back, but slowly you get in the busyness, and those moments aren't as exciting, or those moments are fewer and far between. They're not as common, and they aren't as important in our daily schedules, in the crush of life, if you will. And what I want to do is this morning, as I said before, in just the most simple terms of what this passage is going to draw out, is I want to encourage us and I want to hope that through this passage this morning that we can really understand the reality of the dependence on God that we see here in these verses. And that we can look at this importance and see how God, as he's offering us this invitation to join in his work, that we would reflect on our lives and see exactly if we're able to and if we have come to a place to recognize how important what he's asking of us as these captives to be free to do the work that he has set before us. So if you have your Bibles, as I said, it's going to be up here. We're going to look at Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to start. It says this: in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Stop. In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. I read this and I immediately go, God is praying to God. That's really awkward. That's like one of those theological mind benders that you're thinking to yourself, wait, what? You know, because if we study back, we know that Jesus, as we've seen specifically last week, Chuck pointed out that Jesus was there at creation. He has the authority that all things were created in him, through him, and for him. And that God, in his plan of salvation, redemption, and reconciliation for all humanity, he sent his son to this earth. He sent his son to as part of the incarnation to come down here to minister and then eventually die for us. When he came here and he was born of Mary, we know that he still had this idea of being fully God, but he was still fully man. And it's these moments here that as I was reading through it this week, I got through this verse and I had to stop and walk away. Here goes, yeah, it's a really simple verse. Yeah, I know, but for me, it was really impactful. It brought me right back to this Mount Arbel experience. That Jesus, as we know through the book of Luke and the Gospels, Luke particularly uses 5 times where it specifically talks that Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray. Again, the God of the universe is taking time from the ministry and the people that are overwhelming him to go up to a quiet place alone and to spend time with his Father. Whew. Jesus is an example here of something that I think for me and for each of us is showing us this extremely important reality of dependence upon God. And not only does he take like 5 minutes, throw up a couple prayers, and got on with his time and his day. It says here he spent all night in prayer to his Father. Whew. To me, that was humbling. Because for me, my relationship with God is important. It is a priority. It's part of the thing for me, the calling that God has asked of me, and yet somebody who's called to do this work, and I still don't spend time and urgency and dependence upon God like I even see Jesus doing. What I think a lot of times happens in our lives is we desire and we have these moments of just excitement, like Mount Arbel, where we're just overwhelmed with God and who he is and the glory and his presence and the awesome works and deeds that he has accomplished. But at times we step away when we actually need to turn our hearts fully to him and actually get on our knees and beg him in dependence because we're going through a rough situation or we're not quite sure what he's going to do and ask him for wisdom, guidance, and direction. You see, Jesus goes up there in these next verses, we're about ready to see this. He goes up and spends time in prayer to urgently seek his Father for wisdom. To spend time in dependence. God, what is it that you want? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to choose to be the people that are going to change the world for your kingdom? Who are they? Please, God, I beg you, help me in this process. God, please, please, I beg you, walk through this guidance, the power you have in and through me. Because we see here in verse 13, it says, and when day came, he called his disciples to him. And he chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas the Iscariot who became the traitor. You see, when you read through these verses right within the specific context that immediately after this, Jesus calls his disciples in the morning to himself. Now, what I want to note here is that when you see the word disciple, at least for me, a lot of times I simply think of the 12, right? Those 12 chosen ones. But if we do study the Gospels, we know that these aren't the only people that were following him as disciples. You see, disciple means follower. These were people that willingly did leave their things and followed him around to hear him teach. He was a rabbi. He was a teacher of the law. This was not uncommon. So when he comes to invite them to him, he's inviting a larger group than just simply the 12. Now, if he has these group of people that are surrounding him, what he needs to do, it says, is he chooses 12 from among them to be his apostles. 12 from among them to be his apostles. Jesus goes up to pray and asks and begs God of these people, that have given up things, that have decided to follow me as the teacher? Which of these 12, God, do you want to be the sent ones? Which of these 12 do you want to be the ones that will, for generations after, preach your name to the world, that will set it on fire for your name? Who are these 12 men that you want? Who are the ones that from way back in the Old Testament, the promise of this exact moment, when you would come and you will commission your name to go forth to not just simply the Jews, but to the Gentiles? Who is it? Who are these individuals, God? I'm asking you, I'm begging you, help me to choose who these people are. And we see here that Jesus chooses these 12 unique, not important, not necessarily of all the faith, but these 12 men to be the ones to accomplish this specific task of being sent as the apostles out from this place. And as I said before, we see throughout the rest of the Gospels, throughout the book of Acts, we see through the epistles, we see exactly what God uses to commission these great men through the dependence that he is offering and the invitation to leave all of this behind and to do his work, to be set free as the captives to accomplish his work on the earth. Now, there's a lot of different names here. We're not going to spend time looking at every each individual this morning. Lack of time. But also because as we go through the rest of the book of Luke, whether it's a few weeks or months, who knows how long it takes us. But you'll start to see each of these individuals learning and growing. That their dependence upon God is becoming even more drawing to them. That as they go, that Jesus is teaching them simple truths. Sometimes he has to pull them aside and rebuke them. But he's trying to get them prepared and to understand what does this invitation that he is offering really look like and mean. And so the next few weeks and months, whatever it is, we'll go ahead and we'll look at this and see what this looks like for these guys and these individuals that are going to go and do this. But as we see here, Jesus is giving this example by going up and praying in dependence upon his Father. We see that it doesn't stop there by choosing these 12. Could have been easy, okay, you got 12, go do the work, I'm done. No, but what we see now is that Jesus now is showing us as an example what this invitation looks like of going forth and meeting these people's needs. If you look at verse 17, it says, "And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all." Jesus' fame has grown. No longer is he just walking after John the Baptist and sharing a few villages. No, people are coming from all these regions to hear and to see this individual that exuding power and teaching these messages and these words that have never been heard from before. This region of Tyre and Sidon, this is like 30 to 60, 70 miles away from this specific region that he's at. Now for us, you know, some of you are like, yeah, that's like my normal morning commute. I do that and some. Well, of course, you know, in a car or a train or, you know, public transportation, it's going to go rather quickly. But these people are willingly walking from regions over mountains, over deserts, over all these areas to come and to see Jesus. To come and to recognize this is the man that is offering something that we have never ever heard of or experienced before. We see here that Jesus, as I said before, comes down from the mountain with his disciples. And I think he's pausing to show them, hey, this is what it looks like to do the work that I'm asking of you. This is what it looks like. I'm going to come down to the people and to meet their needs. I'm going to come down to those that are poor, that don't have anything, and I'm going to give them something that they will never, ever be poor again. I'm going to come and I'm going to heal those people that have been deaf their whole life, that have been blind, that have been crippled, that have diseases. And I'm only going to do that over the physical, but you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it over even the demons. I'm going to cure, I'm going to cast out demons. And I'm going to show the power and the glory and the authority of my Father to these people. He's showing here this unbelievable power that can only be found in the presence of someone that is fully dependent upon God. And what's fascinating about this is I was reading this, that last verse there, you know, it says, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. Man, I went back to my little boy days. I'm just being honest with you. You know, reading those stories in the Old Testament, you know, David and Goliath and Gideon and these battles and all these just cool stories as a little kid, I'm thinking, this is awesome. I reverted back to that when I read this. It's like, what, lightning bolts coming out? What's going on here? Because it's so unexplainable what's happening. That he was filled so much with the power of God because of what God was wanting him to accomplish. That he healed everyone. Whew. You see, Jesus isn't just showing us the example of what does it mean to go away and spend time in dependence upon our Father. But then he goes and does the ministry of dependence by showing everyone, look, this is what it looks like. To go and to be the captive that's been freed and to do the work that I am asking of you. He's offering this invitation and this willingness and this decision that all of us need to take a step back and think about in our own lives. He's asking that these disciples and those that are following him to leave everything behind. Literally give up of your life. All of the things that are surrounding you, and do my work. Do the work that I'm asking from you. Be free. Be free. You know, as I think of these Mount Arbel and that time that I spent there, and I walked up this hill and I got up top and I was overwhelmed by this amazing creation that was in front of me. That I was able to sit there and potentially be in the same place that Jesus went up there and prayed all night to his Father. I realized as I was thinking back that this is something that I don't practice in my life as much as I need to. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what schedules look like. I don't know what experiences you've been through. I don't know where you're at even in your relationship with Jesus. What I was going to say is whether you're someone that is still struggling with what does it mean to follow him, not quite sure if even Jesus is their thing, if he is right. Maybe you're someone that's been saved your whole life, someone that's followed him your whole life, and you have given up in seasons, times. You have given up, and you've put all those things behind you. I would just challenge you that the most important thing that we can see here in this passage is that we need to depend fully on him, no matter where we are in our journey with him. Jesus can teach us anything. Please let this sink into your heart. Because we can't accomplish anything. We can't do any of the work that he's asking from us. We literally cannot be freed as captives to go and to do the work that he's asking of us until we fully surrender in dependence upon him and what he's offering us. I mean, man, if Jesus goes and prays all night long to his Father, how much more do I need to spend time on my knees begging God to give me wisdom and to give me the strength to walk through the doors of freedom that he is offering to each one of us? And secondly, we see here that not only does he just go and pray and teach us what that dependence looks like, but then as we go, and if we do accept this invitation to join him and to leave all these things behind and to fully focus on the work that's in front of us, that we see here that he has the power to do that. He has the authority, the power, the greatness to do these things in and through us. It's him that's going to accomplish it. And you know what I would say is there's times in my life where I've gone and done and asked God to bless me for it. But there's a difference between what he's asking us here. It's not for me to go out and just do whatever I want and then expect blessing. No, it's the opposite. It's accepting this invitation that he willingly is asking of us and then letting him do the work and just being available for what God wants for us. And I think that as I said before, whatever range we're on, perspective we're on this scale, if you will, that I think that it's still something that in the reality of our relationship with God, that this idea of dependence and is something that we need to come to a point where we fully understand that I need to accept this, that I need to decide through the Spirit to rearrange my life if it doesn't meet up with what he's asking from me. If you talk to people that have done this, that have willingly accepted this beautiful invitation to join him in his work, let me tell you right now, you can see a joy in their lives. You can see it, whether it's people that have done foster care, whether it's done safe families, whether they've willingly given up everything and rearranged their lives to go and work with the poor, to go and dedicate their whole life and existence to serving within the local schools. Whatever it is, if you talk to these people, you can see this power that's coming that's not of themselves. It's through the presence and the Spirit of God working in and through them. But I'll tell you this, it's not easy. The offer and the invitation to accept it is easy, but it's not going to be easy on the journey. And what we've tried and strived to do here, and I would say that sometimes it's been a little bit more difficult, but we've tried to do is to structure ourselves around allowing each of you to be within community with each other to help one another through this process. To willingly walk alongside each other to say, hey, I want to accept the invitation. What is it that I need to do to rearrange myself? Or to pray for you in this process of this journey. To ask God on your behalf to make the changes that is in your heart that's necessary for you to be able to get to this position, to be able to be fully used and free to be able to do the work that he's asking of us. You know, I think that, as I said before, these moments of getting away again, these moments of pause or vacation we take from our normal routines of life, you know, we go away from our work, from our jobs, from our normal routines, that they should be more for the urgency of trying to seek what God wants and not just out of pure enjoyment. Because when I take time away and I fully rest myself in Sabbath in him and who he is, it's when he starts to speak to me and use me in ways that, to be honest with you, is not me. It's only him working in and through me. What I was asking you this morning is that, are you willing to take time, March 12th, 2017, to mark it on your calendars and say, this is the day that I accepted the invitation that Jesus is offering me, that Jesus has clearly set the path for, to free myself to be able to go and to do the work that he's asking of me. We're going to go spend some time this morning in our worship as we continue this morning. We're going to go and spend some time with communion. And what I would ask for each of you is that before you do that, just to find out and ask Jesus where you are in this journey. Where am I, Jesus? Oh, ask the Spirit, God, please, to speak to me this morning. To allow your presence, to allow your word, to allow others, someone to speak to me, to see, God, what it is and where it is that I am on this journey. And then as you do take communion, that you would remember that only a few years later, Jesus goes to the cross to die for each one of us. That's the most amazing act of dependence upon his Father that he exemplifies for us. His body was broken. His blood was shed. So that we could stand here right now in the presence of this God, and we could recognize the awesomeness of who he is because of what he's accomplished for each one of us. My challenge, as I said before, is that we need to remember that this act of dependence that Jesus did on our behalf and sacrifice is something that literally can change your life when we're doing this work and accepting this invitation that he's asking from each one of us. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Oh, gosh, I'm so thankful for your word. I'm thankful for even the unexpected passages, I think, that challenge us, that cause us to be able to step back and to recognize how much more we need to just depend on you. We don't need to do more work. But we just need to allow you to as we've freed and accept this invitation, to allow you just to open our eyes and our hearts to see what it is that's right in front of our faces, Lord. And that we would be able to accept this invitation to be able to fully do the work that you've set before us. So I ask as we take communion, as we give our tithes in the offering boxes, as we choose to worship you this week, that we would get away. We would just be able to spend time and pause and recognize how amazing of a God you are and how awesome you are. Please, God, give us a Mount Arbel experience this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Stand with me this morning as we respond.